Good morning. Can we have the rest of the kids up too? Can we? Oh, look at them. Come on up, guys. Come on up. Any more out there? We're all up here. Okay. Well, let's see. I'll get the old chair out here. What do you think? No? That feels good. So how's everybody doing?
Good.
Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. Now I don't want you to name the present. Don't do that, okay? But have you ever received a gift that you just wasn't real happy about?
Yeah.
Have you? You know, it could even be maybe a piece of clothing that you kind of liked, and then you found out it didn't fit. How'd that make you feel? Did that happen? Oh, it's happened to me too. Yeah. So we've all probably received a gift that didn't exactly make us happy. Do you think that's fair to say? Yeah, maybe just a little bit. Well, I want to tell you, there is one gift that will never disappoint us. Never, ever will we be disappointed or unhappy about this one gift. Can anyone tell me what that gift is?
Christ.
The gift of Christ. That's right. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of word game here, okay, that I think maybe we can all get a hold of. But if I, and I'm not an artist, and you'll soon find that out, okay? But if I draw one of these, and we got the, you know, the, what do you know about that guy right there? Just by looking at his face, what do you know?
That he's smiling.
He's smiling, yeah, see, now, that ain't that bad. I can't see that on the camera, yeah. Anyway, so what do you know?
He's frowning.
About that guy?
He's frowning. He's frowning, so, and he might be mad.
He might be mad, but he's certainly not happy, right? Okay? So just by looking at those pictures, give me the word. What's that?
Happy.
What's
bad.
That?
Sad.
Or sad?
Frowning.
Yeah, okay.
Down in the dumps.
So, down in the dumps. Yeah, I've been there, done that. Yeah, that's right. So, there's something that can make a difference in both of these lives, okay? And I'm going to give you just one word. What's that?
Joy.
You see, joy is a gift from God too. And it comes with Jesus, right? It's a package deal. We get Jesus as our Savior. We believe, we accept Jesus as our Savior. We get Him and we get His joy. Isn't that cool? So joy is greater than all of this. You know why? Because it's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's greater than a bad gift we receive, right? Okay? So I want you guys to always remember the importance of joy. And before we light the candle, and actually we're going to light the pink candle this morning because it's often referred to as the shepherd's candle. And so we're going to light the pink candle this morning as the candle of joy because that's what the shepherds heard was going to be coming. Good news of great joy. We're going to be talking about that in our sermon today, all right? But the first thing I want us to do is we got to sing. Y'all like to sing, right?
Yeah.
You all take great joy in singing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And it's a really hard song. It goes like this. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my
heart. Where? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Come on, come on, let's go. Let's start marching around. Come on, come on. Get up, get up, get up, get up. All right. All right, are you ready? Now, these folks out here got to join us. Are you ready? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Right? I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Do you guys know that song?
Yeah.
All right. One more time. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Let's light the candle. So today, we're going to light the joy candle, and as I said, it's the pink one, and many times are often called the shepherd's candle. So today, we light the candle of joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can have joy. Thank you that it's more than a feeling, it's more than emotion, it's something that comes with the very presence of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can celebrate his birth, celebrate the gift that he has provided to us, our salvation, so great and kind. So we take great joy this morning, Father, in just illuminating this simple acknowledgement, saying thank you for the joy that we can have in Christ. And thank you for these children. Thank you for every one of them. Bless them. And Father, I pray that they're never disappointed. In the gifts they receive, because I know they'll never be disappointed in Jesus. And all the kids said,
amen.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, buddy. You got him, Betty? Yeah, all right. I'm getting quite a collection down there. There's probably two or three sermons down there. We could just start over, you know, just pull one out and, yeah. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, this is going to be one of those messages. The Lord and I worked quite a while on it, and I'm praying and I'm hoping that he won out in the end. So, because you know what, guys, that's so important. That's so important. I mean this from the very depth of my heart. I hope you didn't come here wanting to hear something from Elvin Dillard, because he ain't got much to share. God has some great stuff to share, though, the greatest of all. And so I hope we hear from the Lord this morning. And our hearts will be attuned to what he wants us to hear. You know what? I've had many experiences over my life in preaching, and I've had people come up to me and say something like, "Wow, I just was really, what you said this morning really helped when you said da-da-da-da-da," and I went back and said, "I don't even remember saying that." And I bet you if I listened to the recording, it wasn't there. You know why? Sometimes God just speaks to you. He just speaks to you. And so I pray that's what happens with us here this morning. It's hard to wear a frown on your face when there's joy in your heart. Now, folks, throughout this message, we will not. Matter of fact, we'll be dealing with the reality of suffering, sorrow, pain, and hurt. We will not dismiss it, but I will also emphasize we have victory over it and through it. And that's called the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I preached a sermon one time at the Chinese church in Topeka, and I was kind of dealing with this same issue, the difference between joy and happiness. And we have a fairly basic understanding of that in the English language. Well, I found out about, well, I don't think I found out till after the sermon. There is no word in the Mandarin language There's only one word in the Mandarin language for joy and happiness. They're the same. So my sermon was absolutely worthless. But I think God was able to kind of sort out that misunderstanding. And we do know, or we should know, there is a difference, and I hope God is able to reveal that to us here today. The Advent candle, the candle of joy. Today we're going to examine what joy is, what sets it apart from human emotion. How do we live a life of joy? Where does it come from? And I think it's probably a good time to begin that journey. Let's stand at the reading of God's Word this morning. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Father, I pray that you will bless the reading of your word today. Father, that it will bring glory and honor to you as we examine it, as we study it, and as we allow these words you have given to us to change our lives. So, Father, we pray as Christ is lifted up throughout this service, we will be drawn closer, and maybe some will be drawn to him for the very first time. As we get closer to you, I think the joy just continues to increase. So may we grow in you this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. Fear not, I have good news for you. And that good news is full of glory and joy. You see, no good news, bad news, just good news. Good news of great joy. Even the words that Mary would soon hear from Simeon as she presented her son at the temple would have every indication of being bad news. But it's the ultimate good news. It's the ultimate good news that the fulfillment of the gospel. I would say through this morning's message, the only bad news in the good news is for those who don't accept the good news. That's the only bad news that's part of this, is if you miss the good news. So let's begin our time with first point. Joy is more than an emotion. It is more than an emotion. Look, let's not dismiss emotions. God expresses emotions. The Holy Spirit has expressed emotions. Jesus expressed and showed emotions. So they're a part of who we are. The Holy Spirit can be grieved over our sin. God can be grieved over sin. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. So we know that even our God himself has an expression of emotion, and we are created in his image and likeness, but we are to never allow our emotions to direct us and dictate our lives, because they will at times, because of our human failures, because of the sin nature of fallen man. Emotions are fickle. Amen? But this is an emotional packed story. How can you miss the overwhelming presence of emotion? Imagine the emotions of Joseph. In Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Follow his emotional ride. As he heard the news, his first logical conclusion was, I'm out. I'm out of this. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to put Mary through it. I don't want to go through it. End of story. So a decision is made. Emotions are riding. Then God said, uh-oh, that'll mess up your emotional decision, won't it? When God says, imagine the emotions of Mary. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You're pregnant. Right? Think about the emotions of that. Whoa, wait a minute. I got plans. I have plans. As a little girl, how many of you have raised a girl? When did they start planning their wedding? Yeah, seriously, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. We were giving Kelsey, the kids' oldest sister, a hard time yesterday because she kept referring to her wedding. I said, wait a minute. Jake was there. I remember him saying, I do. Well, she just invited him for the convenience, I guess. But anyway. But no, there's something very beautiful about that. And it's created in, I believe God puts that in little girls, don't you? That beauty of planning their wedding day. Well, Mary had planned her wedding day. It didn't look anything like this. Guys, do you see it? It didn't look anything like this. Emotions, disappointment, sadness, fear. And the angel says, hey, don't worry about it. God's got it. God's got it. Connie, if I may, I'm going to need a little water this morning, okay? Thank you, hon. A little raspy throat. Lord, help me. Zechariah and Elizabeth have been experiencing an emotional roller coaster ride. God may have something to say and he don't want me to be a part of it. Amen. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while they were serving as priests before God, when the division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and he fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Roller coaster ride. Years of a barren life. Years of sadness. Years of the feeling of inadequacy as a woman in that day, in that time, in that period. And an angel shows up to Zechariah and says, "You're going to be a daddy." Yeah, right. What are you going to name him? Well, Zechariah, I tell you what. I think I'll just hush you up for a while. But guys, think about the emotions that were around the Christmas event. Guys, I'm sorry. Even in the womb, cousin John leaped for joy. You know when it happened? When he got close to Jesus. When John got close to Jesus, both in the womb, right? Both in her mother's womb. When John got close to Jesus, he leaped for joy. So let's don't get caught up in riding or resting on our emotions. We will live a train wrecked life. Fear is an emotion. It's the first thing the angel said had to go. Fear not. And John, in his first epistle, tells us that perfect love drives out all fear. Emotions can distract us from the will of God. Emotions will distract us from the joy of the Lord. Emotions will keep us from stabilizing in critical situations. Joseph could have said, "No way, she's on her own." Mary said, "You got to get someone else." Break while I suck on this thing. Thank you, Lonnie. Emotions would have led Mary to say, "I'm not the one. I just don't want to have to deal with this. This ruined my whole life plans. Everything I dreamed of, everything I wanted to do has just disappeared into ashes and dust." Have you been there? Have you been there? When the news that came was good news of great joy, but you know what? I don't feel that way right now. Because God, from my perspective, you just wrecked my life. Right? Folks, that's why we have to go beyond those emotions. We have to go beyond those feelings. God does not want to wreck our lives. Oh no, that is not what he desires. But he does want us conformed to the image and likeness of his Son. And the only way he can do that is when we become obedient to him and do his will, not ours. Evans says joy is internal stability in spite of external circumstances. Because of the knowledge that God is in control, it is settled assurance and quiet confidence in God's sovereignty that results in the decision to praise him no matter what. Even love is more than an emotion, folks. It is not a decision. I've had too many couples tell me during premarital counseling about the day they fell in love, and that scares the bejeebers out of me. Right? Folks, we don't fall in love. Well, sometimes they fall in love, but that's why they fall out, you know, a year or two down the road. Love is a decision. Love is a decision. God decided that his love would provide us a Savior. God loved. He decided in eternity past to love us in a way that would provide us with a redeemer someday. It's a decision. Secondly, joy transcends our experiences. Oh, my goodness. Look at the experiences. A couple of years after Jesus' birth, you know, you'd think things are going along pretty good now. Just had the Magi here, right? They had some great gifts, great time of visit and fellowship. and they take off by another way and say, hey, you better get this kid out of town. Right? Angel said, you know what? Wise men, Magi arrive, pay homage to the king, present their gifts. Wow, what life is good. Life is good. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Come on, guys. Think about that moment. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Somebody wants to kill my baby? Somebody wants to kill this little toddler? And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because there were no more. Guys, what do those experiences do to us? I tell you, they will either draw us closer or drive us away. And I've seen it happen in so many lives. That's the tragedy that surrounded this. Someone wants to kill your son, and that someone is Herod. Get up in the middle of the night, go to a foreign land, take whatever you can. I ain't even going to tell you how long you're going to be there. Experiences, emotions, and we ride the tumultuous waves. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know, hear me clear, hear me well, please, by God's grace. Joy is our hope in that night when that news comes. Joy is our hope. Joy is our strength in the darkness. Joy is that presence that is down deep, that sees the future beyond our physical circumstances and compels us to believe without a doubt everything is going to work out somehow. That's joy. But if we stake our future on happiness, oh, my dear friends, it will be devastating. It will be devastating. Joy is the power that enables us to put one foot in front of the other when all of our physical strength is gone. Joy is that inner strength that says weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy. And I would challenge you, please, to take note when the plot to kill Jesus started and was relentless until he was on the cross. And you know, Mary and Joseph heard all of this that was going on back in Bethlehem. You know they did. They were aware of what was going on back there. So what has the life of our Savior been like so far? Yeah. And God was sovereignly directing the whole journey. Have you ever let emotions get in the way of a sound decision? Have you ever allowed circumstances and experiences to influence that decision? I have good news for you, and it's full of great joy. Number three, joy is an expression of God's character. Whatever God gives, he gives through his Son. The central character of all Scripture is the Son of God. In Luke 1 again, and behold, you will conceive and in your womb bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Not only the expression of God's character, but his exact representation. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That is the message of Christ. He is not only the expression of God's character, he is the Son of God, the exact representation of his Father, and in him the fullness of deity dwells, and he is in charge, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something very quickly. We're not going to get political here, but the U.S. government isn't in charge of a blessed thing. Everybody say, praise God. Politicians aren't near as powerful as they think they are. Matter of fact, they have no power. Only God rules and reigns, brothers and sisters. Do not be discouraged on the journey that this nation is in right now. No matter how bad it looks, our victory has already been claimed through Jesus Christ. It will not come through an elected official. Amen? Amen. Take great joy in knowing that. Only God gives joy, and no one can take it away. You cannot separate joy from God. The world does not and cannot give joy, so the world cannot take joy away. I got the joy down in my heart. And how long is it going to be there? Down in my heart to stay. Stay. You shall call his name Jesus. The Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. He'll be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's joy. Point number four, please. Joy, hope, and peace are inseparable. Listen to the key points of this one verse in Paul's prayer in Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Let me read that again because I didn't read it quite correctly. Excuse me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Talk about missing an important word. In believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. It doesn't get any better than that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. We just covered three of the candles. The God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace. Hope, joy, and peace come as a package deal when you receive the Holy Spirit at conversion. And if you're lacking one, you're lacking all, which means you do not have the Holy Spirit and you have not been converted. The gifts of joy, hope, and peace do not erase or eradicate our times of sorrow, pain, doubt, even fears and sadness, but they will override and overwhelm them all. Because point number five is, joy is Emmanuel. Joy is Emmanuel. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, God cannot give us joy without giving us himself. Isn't that beautiful? How beautiful? You can't have joy apart from having God. You cannot have joy apart from having Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You cannot have joy without having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have it, and you cannot claim it, and you cannot muster it up, and you cannot achieve it. You are just flat broken without joy, and your whole life is going to hinge on happiness and sadness. What a disaster. What sadness is in that truth? Our true joy is God with us, brothers and sisters. Our true joy is God with us, Christ in us in Christ, all brought together through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is Emmanuel. Joy is Jesus. Listen, please, as the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that, listen to what he says now very carefully, that my joy, Jesus speaking, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. How do we become full of joy? Only by having his joy. Do you see it? It's so clear in Scripture. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. We're already to the cross. We're back to the cross. So how did Jesus complete the provision? As I noted in my little article for the happenings this month, praise God, there was no break in the supply chain. The cradle did end up at the cross. It was completed. We're not waiting on something to happen. We're not waiting for a ship to arrive or a cargo to be unloaded. You can have it now, brothers and sisters, the joy of God, the joy of Christ, the joy of the Holy Spirit. You can have it right now. And how did that provision occur? Listen to the way the writer of Hebrews puts it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, joy is set before us. It is set before us. As I read from the Psalms earlier, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. In part? No. In full. Whose joy? His joy. How does his joy come? With him as the indwelling presence we so desperately need. So I have for you this morning good news of great joy. And Peter says in his first epistle, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not know him, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's where it all ends. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And I didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. It was a gift from God. It's nothing, it's something, no one else can give it to you, folks. We're here this morning, and I made these last second, we call them chicken scratches, on the bottom of my notes. Out of an assembly this size, I am absolutely confident there is someone here this morning that is in a deep struggle. hurt, pain, sorrow, conflict, grief. Maybe it's a spiritual battle. Well, it's all a spiritual battle, but maybe it's a specific spiritual battle. Or maybe you're sitting there right now, right now, right this moment, and the Holy Spirit is whispering, you're missing something in your life. You've tried everything else to be happy. Why don't you give up trying and start trusting and receive joy? Receive joy. Have you ever noticed how sometimes the worst of news comes in the night? I don't know. There just seems to be something about that. Or at least it's in the night when the tragedy really becomes traumatic in our lives. It's in the darkness. And we struggle. We fight to find hope in that moment. And then, as a believer, there's a peace. It's like a dome of protection that kind of settles over you. And it's just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus in that moment. And when nothing else makes sense, you just know that everything's going to be okay. That's joy. That's hope and joy walking into your life. You see, joy is just like the hope. It sees beyond. Happiness is contingent on the moment, and that's where we get trapped, we get caught, and that's where we can spend too much time, in the now. When hope and joy takes us to tomorrow and right on into eternity. And then we can rise up and put that one foot in front of another. And we may not be able to parade around like we did with the kids this morning. We may not feel like marching in a parade. But we can stand on the rock and say, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Father, thank you for the gift of Christ. Thank you for the gift of joy. Thank you, Father, that joy speaks to us in the darkness, speaks to us in the lonely times, speaks to us when we feel all alone. And Father, there's times I know for certain people will understand this who have been there, and many, many, many people right here in this assembly have been there. It's something they can't even really explain. They just know it's you. They know it's you. Bringing encouragement and strength and comfort and peace. Because you're the only one that can bring those things. God, I pray for a Christmas this year that Grace Community Church has never experienced. A Christmas filled with the joy of the Lord in ways that we can't even imagine. Because the prophet said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In Jesus, Emmanuel, precious name. Amen. Amen.